Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It's the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad that you're a part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Our text this morning is Jeremiah 8, 1 through 7. And I invite you to please follow along in your Bibles, or in one in the pew rack in front of you, as I read Jeremiah 8, 1 through 7. At that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings and officials of Judah, the bones of the priests and prophets, and the bones of the people of Jerusalem will be removed from their graves. They will be exposed to the sun and the moon and all the stars of the heavens, which they have loved and served, and which they have followed and consulted and worshipped. They will not be gathered up or buried, but will be like refuge lying on the ground. Wherever I banish them, all the survivors of this evil nation will prefer death to life, declares the Lord Almighty. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. When men fall down, do they not get up? When a man turns away, does he not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each pursues his own course like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Our topic this morning is somewhat akin to our message last Sunday. Hopefully you will recall that my message last Sunday dealt with God's power. And the message emphasized the need for God's power to be within us in order for us to be the witnesses for Him that He expects us to be. Now that message was not concerned about losing one's salvation. It was concerned with not yielding our lives totally to the Holy Spirit once we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Remember, we talked about half-dead Christians who went through the motions, did not have the spark of the Spirit within them, and did not portray the type of witnesses that God wants us to be. And likewise, contrary to what many believe, our message today is not concerned with losing one's salvation. In fact, we as Southern Baptists do not believe that you can lose your salvation. And I was thinking last night, do you know of any denomination or religion that believes you can lose your salvation? Pentecostal, the Muslims, and I thought of the Free Will Baptists. You know, we believe once saved, always saved. But the Free Will Baptists believe that it's a conditional salvation, conditioned upon faith, and you can lose that salvation if you turn away from Jesus and lose your faith in Jesus. Now, they don't believe in an occasional sin causing you to commit apostasy or turn it away from God. But if you begin a life of sin after you have received your salvation and you don't turn away from that life of sin, the Free Will Baptists believe that you have lost your salvation. Fortunately, we as Southern Baptists don't believe that, and I think that we are right in that belief. You know, a backslider is a saved person who has fallen backwards or slides backwards into sin. In the Bible, we have numerous examples. We have Noah, we have Abraham, Peter, Lot, and David. What about Judas? Was Judas a backslider? No. Judas was a sinner. Judas never believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he sold him out to the Romans. You cannot be a backslider if you haven't gone anywhere from which to slide back into. If you haven't accepted the gift of salvation, then you have not confessed your sins and you can't slide back if you are not saved. But some people are backsliders longer than others. For Peter, it was just a matter of days. For David, it was a matter of months. For Lot, who succumbed to Sodom, it was a matter of years. Well, what are the causes of backsliding? One of the causes, I believe, is the lust of the flesh. Paul told the church at Rome in chapter 7 of his letter to the church at Rome, "I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." How many of us have experienced this battle within us about which Paul is talking? This raging battle between loyalty to Christ and loyalty to the flesh. And someone asked the question, well, which one wins? And the obvious answer is the one we feed the most, the one we give the most time to, the one we devote our efforts to, whether it be sin or whether it be spiritual grace. That's what will win. You know, there's a movie, and I tried to think of the title, and I even went on the internet and Googled some titles or some words that I thought would bring it up, but I couldn't find it. There's a movie about, an old movie about a group of men who were shipwrecked and were floating on a raft. And after many, many days under the scorching sun, their supply of fresh water and food was depleted. And the men grew deliriously thirsty. And one night, after the others had gone asleep, despite repeated warnings from the other men not to drink the seawater, one man drank his fill of the ocean water. And he subsequently died. You know, the ocean water has approximately 7 times more salt than the human body can safely ingest. And drinking it, a person dehydrates him or herself because the kidneys demand extra water to flush the salt out of the body. And the more salt water someone drinks, the thirstier he or she becomes. They literally die of thirst from drinking the salt water. And when we seek and thirst after worldly pleasures and possessions like this man on the raft boat, we become like him. We want desperately for something that appears to be exactly what we want. And we do not realize it is not what we need. And in fact, it will kill us. Because remember, Paul said the wages of sin is death. And that's been proven over and over from time in the Garden of Eden to today. A second cause of backsliding is a lighthearted love for Jesus. In Revelations, Jesus said, "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love," talking about himself. You know, there's a story of a man and woman who are riding down the road, and they meet another vehicle in which a young married couple are riding, and they're sitting close together. And the woman sees that, and she turns to the man who is driving and says, "Why don't we sit close like that anymore?" And the man said, "I'm not the one who moved." In Christians' lives, who's moved? It's not God. God has always been there. He has always loved us. He continues to love us. He knows that we have left Him, and this grieves Him. Many Christians are in a backsliding state. They have left Jesus. They have this lighthearted love for Jesus. You know, maybe Jesus is second and third on the list of priorities, and so they have broken their fellowship with Him. And a third cause, I believe, of backsliding is love of the world. How many of us suffer from this type of love? It just pulls at us. We think we can fight it, but we make a half-hearted effort. James says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Lot was lured by the world. Lot gave in to the world. He entered into worldly pursuits, and the world hurt him tremendously. Demas hurt Paul when he left Paul for the world, for love of the world. Every day, Christians place low value on spiritual matters and high value on earthly pleasures and possessions. We've talked about this before from this pulpit. We've talked about it in our Sunday school classes. It's just common sense. We look around and we see people that should be here today. And if we took a survey, many of them were pursuing things of the world rather than being in God's house. Well, what are the characteristics of backsliding? First, it's what we would think it would be. One characteristic is unholy living. In Jeremiah, if you look in chapter 7, you'll read, "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have known?" Carnality is untamable, unpredictable, and always destructive to our peace and to our happiness. To be victorious over sinful worldly pursuits, we must allow God into our life to destroy them and to remove them from our lives. Backsliding is uncommitted service. The faithless, meaning the backsliders, the faithless, Proverbs teaches, will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. Notice it's the backslider's ways, not God's ways. A backslider begins to neglect such pursuits as Bible study, prayer, tithing, concern for the lost, and service in God's kingdom. Listen to this poem. "I looked upon my soul one day to find that it had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere. Seeds of neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go while mining things on earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, 'O Lord, forgive. I have not much time left for you, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I cannot recall. If I could live those days again, I would make Jesus Lord of all.'" Uncommitted service is the downfall of so many of us who are believers, who have been saved, but we slide back into worldly pursuits and worldly pleasures and quit serving the Lord as we should. Backsliding is unhappy souls in this world. Even though they've been saved, one characteristic of a backslider is an unhappy soul. Let us lie down in ashamed, Jeremiah says, and let our disgrace cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our fathers. From our youth till this day, we have not obeyed the Lord our God. Think how long ago this was written, and think how relevant it is to this world today, to this county, to this community, to this church. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our fathers. From our youth till this day, we have not obeyed the Lord our God. Backsliders bring shame and unhappiness upon themselves. Consider the case of Robert Robinson. Robinson had been saved from a life of tempestuous sin, and at the young age of 23, he wrote the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Unfortunately, Robinson wandered away from those streams. And like the prodigal son, he journeyed into the land of carnality. And one day he was traveling by stagecoach, and sitting next to him was a young lady reading a book. And she turned to Robinson and said, "I want your opinion of this line in a hymn. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And bursting into tears, Robinson said, "Ma'am, I am the sad, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I possessed them to enjoy the fellowship I had with the Lord at that time." Well, what are the consequences of backsliding? Number one, it hurts society. Matthew tells us, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man." Remember, Jonah's backsliding landed him in trouble. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. God wanted him to go, but he sinned against the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he got on the boat to go to Tarshish. And a violent storm developed. So not only was he in jeopardy for sliding back into disobedience of God, but he jeopardized the lives of these sailors who were on the ship with him. Lot was an outstanding citizen of Sodom, yet his backsliding caused his children to mock him. A backslider hurts him or herself. That's obvious. Psalms 89, "I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging." What a painful reminder of the consequences of our sin. You cannot backslide and not expect consequences. We know that the Lord is a righteous God, a holy God, a God of justice, and He will mete out the punishment He has promised us at some point. We may have gotten by with backsliding for lo these many years. We may not have suffered the consequences that we deserve. But judgment will come upon us one day. God punishes those who continue to sin. He told the Israelites, said, "You are going to, because of your sinful behavior, you will be helpless, and I will bring the Chaldeans down upon you." And He did. And the Israelites were almost wiped out. And a backslider hurts the Savior. Luke tells us that the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I think sometimes we forget that we hurt Jesus. And one of the ways we hurt him most of all is backsliding. Is going back into that life of sin that he died from which to remove us. And it hurts him. If we could look into heaven, I think we'd be surprised to realize how hurt Jesus is when we sin against him. And the cure for backsliding is not denying it. It's not covering up our sins. The cure is much like it was when we first accepted that gift of salvation. We repent. We say, Lord, forgive me for sliding back into a lifestyle that I know is wrong, that I know offends you, that I know misses the target you set for me, that I know is a sin. Please forgive me. And he will forgive you. And that will restore your broken fellowship with the Lord. So if there are some here today who have broken fellowship with the Lord because of their backsliding, I invite you, as we sing a hymn of invitation, to say a silent prayer to the Lord. To tell him you confess those backsliding ways. And if there's someone who wishes to accept Jesus' free gift of salvation and rid their lives totally of sin, you need to come forward and accept him today as your Savior.